Always local. 5AA. Always Adelaide.
The 5AA Player app lets you listen to all your favourite 5AA shows wherever you go.
5AA Mornings with Matthew Pantelis.
25 to 12 on 5AA. 7 News on 5AA coming up at midday. Tasting Australia coming up this Friday. It all opens in Victoria Square and other places as well around the state. It's put on by RAA Travel, the premier food and beverage festival in Australia is how it's built. Thrilled to have in the studio with me one of Tasting Australia's, in fact, beverage curator of the event, Banjo Harris Plain. Banjo, good morning.
Thanks so much for having me, Michael. Great to be here.
Matthew, but yes, good.
Thanks, Matthew. First time meeting.
Yeah, indeed. Now, Banjo, tell me about the program. You put this together. 150 events feature in this festival program. How many of those do you have to go through? Do you taste them all?
We taste everything in the lead up, but we don't need to be there on site for everything that goes on. It's pretty spread out. You know, the festival is obviously centered in Victoria Square, but there's things happening around the CBD, and we go out into the regions as well, whether it's, you know, Eyre Peninsula, Flinders, Clare Valley, all over the place.
Fantastic. You've been in the hospitality and wine industry your whole life, haven't you? What got you started? What's your background?
My parents used to own a restaurant on Hutt Street, actually, back in the day. It was called Neddy's 2,
right,
next to the Havelock, the pub there.
Yeah.
And so I would work there on weekends when I was in school and through university. And I remember doing stock take in the cellar with my dad after playing sport on the weekend. So, you know, got to know the names of the wines and the great varieties in the regions. And that kind of set me on the path. I traveled to the UK after university and worked in some restaurants over there and picked up the wine bug, and it's kind of stuck with me ever since.
What did you study in uni? Does it fit in with what you're doing now?
Not really, no. It was international studies with French and Latin, and, you know, it was kind of...
Well, you know, French could come in handy with the wine industry, so, you know, that's...
Helps with the translation.
Yeah, well, that's it, all right. So here you go. Now, your second year as chair of being drinks curator, Tasting Australia. How's the planning preparation this time around?
It's much easier than first time around, certainly. Got a bit more of a feel for it. You know, it's a really huge team that puts on this event. Obviously, an event of this size, it takes a whole village, and the Tourism Commission's got plenty of bodies on the ground, which makes things easy for us. But there's still a lot of work to be done in terms of curating the beverage events, organising all the wines. You know, it's a real celebration of South Australia, the event. And so we try and have a focus on plenty of South Australian wines and beers and spirits. And so that's where, I guess, the background kind of knowledge really helps, being able to connect with the producers of those beverages, and kind of go digging in their cellars a little bit, sort of unlocking little bits and pieces that they might have locked away that aren't for general sale, so that we can really showcase the best of the best when it comes to the festival.
Fantastic. All right. What's the program look like, the beverage program look like this year? Because there's different marquees within Vic Square, isn't there? You can go into different parts and rooms and go tasting.
Yeah, the square itself is pretty amazing. There's a whole heap there happening every single day. You know, whatever your interest, you can be pretty much guaranteed there's something to sate your curiosity and your thirst.
Yeah.
Whether it's eating or drinking, there's heaps going on. But in terms of beverage, it's a really exciting program this year, I think. We're quite diverse in the way that we've looked at South Australian beverages. So it's not just wine. We're highlighting up and coming craft breweries, distilleries. There's a bunch of interesting non-alcoholic options if you're that way inclined.
Yep.
And we're really kind of delving into the far reaches of South Australia to make sure that we've got every single wine region covered, lots of different grape types, lots of different producers from iconic to up and coming. It's a whole variety.
Yeah, okay. How many wine regions are there in SA? Because we can all probably list five without even thinking about it. And that would be McLaren, Coonawarra, Adelaide Hills, Barossa and Clare. And
that's,
there we go.
That's pretty good.
And I haven't thought about it, right?
You did pretty well.
How many are there?
Well, you could add on Langhorne Creek, definitely.
Okay,
Coonawarra, Fleurieu Peninsula.
Yeah.
And within that, there are sub-regions, I guess. And that's where the nuance lies, you know, delving into some of these bigger, better known regions and finding out that, oh, actually, if you head a little bit north and go down this road, this vineyard's up a little bit higher, or if you go down out this side, then they're in a bit of a valley, and so the climatic conditions are different, they grow different grape varieties, and really sort of honing in on the individual vineyards and the individual grape varieties that make that place a little bit special. And that changes from region to region. You know, some places, I think, you know, McLaren Vale is a great example. In its history, really well known for Shiraz, these days, Grenache is definitely coming up.
Yep.
And even sort of a little bit behind that, the white grape variety Fiano. There's a few people who are growing that and producing that. So, you know, finding the interesting bits and pieces within those better known regions.
What's Fiano like? Never heard of that.
So it's an Italian grape variety, central and southern Italy. It's a medium bodied white variety that likes to grow pretty close to the coast.
Okay. Perfect.
Fleshy, a bit of pear, a little bit of salinity, really great with fish, you know, Fiano and, you know, King George Whiting or something like that.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Okay. What drives the change from, say, Shiraz to whatever's around Merlot or whatever it is at Grenache that's around at the moment? What is it? Is it taste? Is it the market moving on? Is it demand overseas? What does that?
It's a little bit of everything. You know, I mean, the answer is, you know, somewhere in the ether. Yeah. But look, everyone kind of contributes to it. Obviously, the market drives it a little bit.
Mm.
But I think in the particular case of the move from, you know, bigger, full-bodied Shiraz and Cab Sav in South Australia towards, say, something like Grenache, another really important contributing factor is the lifestyle and the weather that we have here in Australia. You know, we're a warm country. Mm. We like to go to the beach. We like to be outside. Sometimes those full-bodied reds aren't necessarily as suited to the lifestyle that we live in Australia.
Yeah.
We need something a little bit fresher, something we can take for a picnic, something we can have a glass of by the beach. And so this move to fresher, more medium-bodied styles is really apparent.
Okay, that's really interesting. Okay, it does change, and you think about it. You know, Shiraz, we were all drinking that 20 years ago, and it was probably the thing that was around. But since Grenaches have come in, and blends as well, Grenache Merlot blends, just magnificent.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, it's not to say that Shiraz is gone. We've actually got a really great masterclass in the festival about the evolution of the style of Shiraz in South Australia. So it's still very much there. We've got incredibly ancient Shiraz vines in places like the Barossa Valley, you know, real benchmark
Turkey
for
Flat.
The state. Exactly right. Yeah. You know, Turkey Flat, absolutely iconic. You know, things like that where the vines have been in the ground for more than 100 years, the wines they produce are still incredibly delicious.
Yeah.
But I think just people are choosing to focus on other things now. So that's what we want to do as part of the festival, not necessarily say this is what you need to be drinking, but just highlight, you know, some of the options that South Australia has.
They did a great blend up there called Butcher's Block, which was a Grenache Shiraz Merlot blend, and that was very nice indeed. okay, well, look, in your beverage talent list, you've got award-winning winemakers, distillers, judges, a sensory expert, and more. So who judges this? What is the talent in the program?
I don't know about whether the talent is being judged, but look, that's part of my role to put together the list of people who are going to come and share their knowledge.
Okay.
And we have, again, you know, tried to capture people from all different walks of life, whether they're journalists or winemakers or distillers. We've got some really great people, both from South Australia and further abroad. Two of the winemakers that are coming from overseas are from New Zealand. So two incredible wineries there. One called, Ripon in central Otago in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And another one called Atarangi. They're in, Martinborough, so a little bit further north. And the head winemaker from each of those wineries is going to be here in Adelaide. They're together in a class focusing on Pinot Noir. They both make amazing Pinot.
Mm.
They're doing a couple of other classes as well. Just sharing their knowledge, showing off their wines. It's going to be really wonderful.
Who comes along to this? I mean, you'd have to be deeply into Pinot Noir or Shiraz to hear the history of Shiraz in South Australia. And, I mean, unless, you know, for most of us, I just want to enjoy a nice glass of wine with a meal. That's as far as it goes.
No, fair enough. And look, I think, you know, I'm the beverage curator, I've been focusing on some of the sort of, I guess, in-depth wine classes that we're really doing.
Yeah.
But the festival does offer a range of events. You know, we do try and cater to all levels of wine knowledge and wine interest. We actually started an event just last year. It's called How to Wine. It's basically an introduction to wine. So we just have about a dozen wines that are available for tasting. And it's not so much going into, you know, the details of where the vineyard is or what the winemaker had for breakfast or anything like that. It's more about how you drink it, what you might drink it with, how you serve it, how long you can keep it in your cellar for, you know, almost like the basics of wine, but introduced in a really easy, friendly, chatty kind of way.
Okay. How long should you keep wine for those of us at home that don't have a cellar, that might just have a wine rack or something?
Yeah, look.
Or a cupboard?
If you've got a wine rack and it's somewhere cool, you can keep most bottles for a year or two. It's obviously going to depend on the grape variety and the style of the wine. A bigger full-bodied red you could happily keep for 5 years.
Okay.
But you do need to be careful. It really does need to be sort of out of the way in a cupboard somewhere. Things like heat, Vibration, really? And moisture are the enemies of wine.
Why vibration?
The movement of the wine within the bottle is actually going to very gently oxygenate the wine really? Over time. And if that happens continuously, it's actually going to speed up the aging process.
Okay. So red wine as well has a timeline. So, you know, the old thing about keeping it for 100 years or whatever, it'll get better and better with age. It's not right.
Well, not 100 years. You know, the oldest wines that I've tried have been about that, I guess. But for something that you're going to buy to drink during the week, you know, just a casual bottle of red, I would be keeping that for a maximum of 5 to 10 years.
Is that right?
Okay, so. You know, unless you've got a specialised cellar perfect conditions, that kind of thing.
And all that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The humidity and all that. Okay, so are you excited to see anyone in particular of your talent lineup?
Yeah, look, there's a couple of people that that are South Australian, actually, but that I don't get to connect with too often. You know, everyone's busy. You've got plenty going on. We've got a couple of really amazing winemakers based here in South Australia who are coming along to the festival. One of them is Kate Goodman. She's the chief winemaker at Penley in Coonawarra. Mm. This year, she was awarded the 2024 Australian Winemaker of the Year by the Jane Talladay Guide. So
fantastic.
You know, essentially the best winemaker in the whole country.
Yeah.
And she's doing amazing things in Coonawarra, reinventing some of the styles there in a gentle kind of way. You know, she's not reinventing the wheel, but she's just modernizing things a little bit and making some really, really lovely wines.
Yeah.
And also Fiona Donald, who's the chief winemaker at Seppelsfield in the Barossa. So she's responsible for not only their amazing fortified collection, but also their table wines, which are coming along in real leaps and bounds. So she's incredibly talented, really well spoken, really great presenter, and really, really generous with all her knowledge.
Fantastic. All right. The regions, where do we sit with the wine beverage scene in comparison to other parts of the country? Well, we know where we sit with Australia, we're the best, but how about the world?
Yeah, look, I think that, you know, that answer of being the best is not too far off the mark. We're so blessed in this state to have, I mean, you already named a handful just off the top of your head. And, you know, part of that is that we're so close to some of these regions here in Adelaide. You can drive an hour in almost any direction and be in a world-class wine region. Mm. We've got history on our side, like we've already said. You know, some of the vines have been there for 100 years plus. We've got diversity of grape types. We've got a winemaking industry that's modern and professional and diligent. You know, the oenology and viticulture schools here in South Australia are some of the best in the world. So we've got great people making great wines from incredible vineyards, and that really puts us at the top tier.
Yeah, there we go. We know that. All right, what events can we still get tickets for that you'd recommend?
Well,
all of them.
No, look, it starts on Friday, so unfortunately a few events have sold out already, but there's a few that you can definitely still get to. One of, I think, the most exciting ones is on the second weekend, so it's still about 2 weeks away now. It's called A to Z of Wine.
Okay.
And what we've done is we've taken every letter of the alphabet and use that as a starting point for which wine or beverage we're going to serve. So in the room, it's a walk around tasting. You pick up a glass as you walk in. There's 26 people scattered around the room. Each one of them has a different thing to drink, and each one of them starts with a different letter of the alphabet.
Oh, wow.
So there's going to be things like Shiraz and Grenache in there for sure. But there's also going to be things that you've never heard of from countries, from, you know, different regions, different places. So that's really exciting and a pretty casual way to enjoy and explore a whole variety of new things.
Excellent. So how did you put that together? I mean, that's a fair bit of knowledge from other countries to bring all that into one.
Yeah, look, I mean, that's the job at the end of the day. That's why I'm here. But yeah, that was almost a bit of fun to put together, to be honest. You know, finding things from different places. There's a few, you know, there's a cider, there's a whiskey, there's a liqueur, there's a sake, there's a range of different different grape varieties, you know, some of which are very hard to pronounce but actually taste delicious, so that's going to be fun.
Yeah, it sounds really good. Okay, details online, no doubt, for Tasting Australia and for the beverage component of it, and it all gets underway this Friday, lasts, what, about 10 days or so in Victoria Square, so it is a pretty good event in South Australia, not just Victoria Square, around the state as well in different regions, so go online, find out some details. My guest, Banjo Harris-Plain, the beverage curator at Tasting Australia. How'd you get Banjo as a name? Is that a nickname or are you christened that?
No, that's my name. So my mum was a teacher and my father was a journalist, and they had a real passion for literature.
Right.
So I'm named after Banjo Patterson.
How about that?
Yeah.
There we go. Very good. Nice meeting you today.
Really nice meeting you. Thanks so much for having me.